Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. To fulfill the Great Commission, God had to break down walls of prejudice and religious taboos. We will see how God worked behind the scenes to get the gospel message beyond Jerusalem. Two men who, without Jesus, would have had nothing to do with one another, ended up embracing as brothers in Christ. Praise God for the gospel that tears down divisive religious and racial barriers. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 10, verse 20, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola concludes his study of verses 1 through 33. Bless the Lord, O my soul,
bless His holy word. How many of you know that the Spirit of God still speaks to His children today? In Acts chapter 8, verse 29, it was the Spirit that gave instructions and directions to Philip. The Spirit of God still speaks, still directs, still guides His people. We want to be a Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, Spirit-guided congregation and people, don't we? We don't want to be motivated by programs. We want to be Spirit-led, Spirit-guided, Spirit-filled in all that we do. And so Peter now goes down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause for you coming? Dr. Ed Hinson wrote, he is the editor of the KJV Commentary Bible, and while Peter doubted what he had seen in the vision, nevertheless, he had no time to dwell on that doubt. Immediately, the representatives of Cornelius appeared at Simon's house, standing before the gate and inquiring whether or not Peter lodged there. The apostle was still on the roof in a trance, but what he had learned was soon to be practiced. God is not looking for a debate from Peter. He's looking for obedience. That's a word in season, isn't it? When God commands you or me to do something that we don't understand or seems contrary to something that we believe to be taboo or doesn't make sense to the natural mind, remember this, beloved, in such cases, God is not looking for a debate. He's looking for obedience. Peter, walk on water. I can't. Obey. Learn to obey. And from this we learn that for those of us who are Christian, God may ask us to do something that perhaps is unusual or a little bit different or outside of our comfort zone. Has that ever happened to any of you? I remember when our grandkids were smaller, there was one day that Lizzie had them all drawing at our kitchen table, all seven of them. And they're drawing, and, you know, for them, they think that they are Leonardo da Vinci or Michelangelo. And they're coloring all outside of the lines and everything, and I'm just shaking my head. How was it, Papa? Oh, that's beautiful, that's beautiful. And the Spirit of God says to me, Raymond, never be surprised when I color outside of your lines. Okay. God is going to do it. If He hasn't yet, He will. He will bring individuals into your life that you may not think you have a problem with. But that old prejudice, that old racism, that old taboo, that old erroneous view of Scripture is going to be brought to bear. We all have to learn how to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and to the leading of God within the parameter of Scriptures. But when God tells you to do something, that's not the time for you to sit back and say, not so, Lord. It's yes, so. And so they said, Cornelius, verse 22, the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of a good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of these. Then called he them in and lodged them. So this is a huge thing for Peter. He's been taught never to have anything to do with them, and now he's inviting these Gentiles from the Italian band into his house. They're probably looking for gardoons or something to eat, right? But now, on the next day, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied them. So now there's other Jews. Peter's got to have a sidebar conversation with them. He's going to have to tell them, hey guys, God just appeared to me. Yeah. There's some men coming. They're Gentiles. There's a Roman soldier. They're probably thinking, oh boy. We're going to go on a journey to them. No, they're probably thinking, I envision Peter's standing in the middle, and they got the Jews on the right or the left, or the Gentiles on the right and the left. They're probably looking at one another thinking, is this okay? Is this kosher? Well, certain brethren, we know from Acts 11, verse 12, that there were six of them. And the next day, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. Now, what intrigues me about this, I was sharing with a few brothers this morning. Cornelius saw an angel. He was afraid. He was in awe. But that's it. Here's a man, Peter, walking into his house, and he bows down and worships. I'm thinking, wouldn't you think he would bow down, even though it would be incorrect, before an angel? He doesn't. He bows down before Peter. Peter? Peter? And he starts worshiping. Listen to what Peter said. And may every pope, bishop, pastor, any religious leader heed these words of Peter. Stand up. I myself also am a man. Amen. Not kiss my ring. Peter, he's got to sort some things out, but he's met the living God. And he knows who he is in light of the living God. And it's been said, and it is true, that you and I never know who we are until we've had an encounter with the living God. And when you do, you'll never be the same. He says, it's not right for you to bow down before me. It is not right for you to worship me. There are people that worship creation. There are people that worship athletes. There are people that worship actors and actresses, brilliant people. They worship. We are a nation that worships, no doubt about it. But for the most part, worshiping false gods. There's only one that we bow the knee to. There's only one that we worship. And that is the true and living God through his son, Jesus Christ. Anything other than that is rank idolatry or religious superstition. Peter says, stand up. I myself also am a man. Verse 27. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. So maybe Peter was thinking, oh, this is going to be Cornelius, maybe his family. So he walks in. And there's a whole clan. There's a whole clan. Kind of like, reminds me of the time when my wife and I were dating and getting serious about being married. I figured sooner or later, she's going to have to meet my family. And so every year we would have the Barone Steferi Viola picnic. Now, she comes from a conservative English background. She's not Italian. She looks Italian. But she's not. Very conservative, maybe a backyard picnic. So we're driving, and I pull into Ellison Park. Well, there's probably at least as many people as are out here. And she says, "What's this?" I says, "This is my family." And of course, I was the oldest of five grandsons, unmarried. As soon as I pull in and get out of the car, here they come. And they come in all kinds of lipstick. She looked like she a freshman initiated for high school. And I'm thinking, Lord Almighty, if I get by this, I'm in. And so here comes Peter. And there were many that had gathered together. And he said unto them, "You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company." That's not what the Bible teaches. That was what they were taught. When you are taught something, be a Berean. Make sure that it lines up with the scripture. Don't just take it verbatim because someone's on, you know, has a website or they have a YouTube channel. Anybody can be on a website, have a website and a YouTube channel and have a large following. What saith the scripture is the bottom line. Always be a Berean. He says, "I can't even come into people of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore, why did you send for me?" Once again, it's difficult for us to comprehend how wide the chasm was that separated the Jews from the Gentiles at that time. Again, Dr. Jack Arnold said it was a toxic misunderstanding of biblical theology, which became a witch's brew of racism and spiritual pride. The Jews regularly referred to the Gentiles as dogs, thought of them as crass idolaters, unclean and immoral, and would no more enter a Gentile home or sit down to a meal with a Gentile than they would eat a ham sandwich. That's how wide this chasm was. Anytime there is a religious group that exalts one nation, you know that that's not the gospel. When we get to heaven, brothers, there's going to be people there before the Lord out of every tribe and tongue and nation and skin color worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ together. Amen. What or who may be on your unclean sheet? Could it be this current generation? Spiked hair? More rings through their nose and ear and any place you could put it? What would you do? What would you do if they come to 500 Main Street next week? I'll tell you what I would do. I would do the same thing with them as I did years ago when all of these rock and roll, Christian rock and roll bands said, "I can't find a place to worship." I said, "You can come here and sit right in front of me and I will preach you the word of God because Christ came to set you free." What would you do? How would you deal with that? What's on your unclean? What race of people? What color of people? What nationality? You see, there are things that we have to overcome. Now, we're going to see this prejudice caused by legalism and nationalism come to a head in Acts chapter 15, because now many Gentiles are going to be brought into the body of Christ, Yeshua. And there are some that are going to insist that they be circumcised and keep the law of Moses to be saved. And praise God for that counsel in Acts chapter 15 that never, never was passed. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. not of works, lest any man should boast. And so Cornelius says, we're getting down to the wire here. He didn't say we're getting down to the wire here. I'm saying that. He said, 4 days ago, I was fasting unto this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer is heard. Your alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he comes shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to you, and you have well done that you are come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of thee. So Cornelius says, we're ready to hear. Notice how God spoke to Peter and to Cornelius to bring them together. That's how God works. You see, God has orchestrated all the events of Peter and Cornelius for what purpose? For the sake of the furthering of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And if anyone is here today of non-Jewish descent, we should be very thankful. We should be very thankful. Right here, we have reached a critical turning point and the furthering of the gospel to the world. And it's indicated by the emphasis, both in chapter 10 and chapter 11, that Luke uses, don't forget they would have these parchments, that Luke is using to record this account. This is the scenes of one of the most important moves of God in the spreading of the gospel from beyond Jerusalem to the Gentile world. We see him working in the lives of two men who prior to coming to Jesus Christ would have had nothing to do with one another. Isn't it amazing? I think it's such a beautiful thing when you see people like us coming together, loving Jesus, loving one another, who before we were saved may not have wanted to have anything to do with any one of us. And here we are this morning. Praise God for that. Praise God for the love of Christ. Praise God how he changes your heart. In grace, there is no race. In grace, there is no color. By the end of this meeting, Peter and Cornelius are going to embrace one another as brothers in Christ, and they're going to give glory to God. And you and I can praise God this morning for the power of the gospel that tears down the divisive walls of religious legalism and nationality distinctions. But here's something very interesting. So Peter is given this vision. So wouldn't you think that after this encounter, he's never going to have a problem with this again? Well, if you thought yes, you're wrong. You see, because Peter is going to have a problem with this. We read in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, he's going to have a problem in Galatia. He's hanging around with Gentiles. He's eating pork chops and everything. And then Paul, and then some Jewish brethren come, and all of a sudden he separates from them, and Paul has to rebuke him to his face for acting in a way that is inconsistent with the gospel. And just as Peter carried much of his cultural prejudices and religious traditions of his old life into his new life in Christ, so we too, as 20th century Christians, have cultural prejudices and religious traditions which carry over into our lives. Even though we are new creatures in Christ, this is Peter, a capital A apostle, still wrestling with this years later. It's so important to point out, beloved, justification is immediate. The moment you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are justified. You are made a new creature. Sanctification is a lifelong process where God works in you and me to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. And if you confuse what God is doing in you, sanctification with justification, you will be unstable, unsure of your salvation. What the Lord is working in Peter is the truth of what the gospel is all about. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. So let me close with this. This account of Cornelius coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ teaches us the insufficiency of human goodness and religiosity and moralism as a basis for salvation. And I'm sure that you, like me, have met many people. You share with them the gospel. Do you believe in heaven? Do you believe in hell? Are you going to heaven? And you'll hear something like this. Well, I keep the Ten Commandments. I'm a good person. I give to the Red Cross. I give to the church. I pray. Those are wrong answers. He rose again the third day. He is seated at the right hand of the Father because he is my salvation. He is my righteousness. He is my justification. He is my redemption. He is my salvation. It's not what I do. It's what he has done for me. You see, Cornelius was a good man. Guys, don't believe the lie that outside of Christ there aren't people that are just good, humanly good. He was a good man. No doubt he was sincere, a devout man, a benevolent man, a generous man. I have to believe a family man, a religious man, a praying man, but he was not a Christian. You know people like that, and so do I. We will see next week, Lord willing, that it was not until Cornelius heard the gospel of Jesus Christ from Peter and repented of his sins and believed in Jesus Christ that he was born again. Then the Spirit of God came upon and dwelt in him. You see, it's possible to be religious and not regenerated. It is possible for a person to be morally good but not born of God. It's possible for a person to be a member of a church and not a Christian. You must be. I must be. Every human being who is born into this world is born in Adam, separated from God. He, she must be born again. And the gospel is a proclamation. It's the good news. The gospel is not just good ideas. It's not good advice. The gospel is a proclamation that the Word was made. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of man. And this, John says, we write unto you that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write unto you that your joy may be full. Amen. Amen. I know many, many, and I mean it. I know many good, moral, church-going and not church-going people. And many of them have yet to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The gospel is a proclamation from heaven today. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. John the Apostle puts it this way. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if you're here this morning and you are not sure whether or not you are born again, make your calling and election sure. Today is the day of salvation. Bless the Lord,
oh my soul, bless his holy. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sela, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selahonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selahonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.